The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Bruce Arians coming up on today's show. The former Arizona Cardinal head coach, now with the CBS family, CBS analyst. He was in the booth yesterday with Greg Gumbel and Trent Green. I thought he had his hits. I thought he had his misses. I didn't think it was the easiest game for an analyst to be involved in. And obviously, Bruce knows the Cardinals inside and out, and trying to work in a sideline reporter and a play-by-play person and one analyst and another. And man, it just seemed like a busy, busy show over on CBS. But he's learning. I mean, you're not going to be perfect as an analyst. You're not. Not everybody's going to be Tony Romo. Right. And hearing Bruce talk, it's kind of like when Mike Ditka came on board at ESPN. From my point of view, here's someone that has seen the game, that's been involved in the game, that loves the game, absolutely loves the game. And he's not going to get into Tyreek Hill going up into the stands and grabbing the camera and shooting it. I happen to like that. OK, we're in a day where some of you don't like, and there's times where I don't like, the showmanship. I thought that was pretty harmless, actually. What's the difference between that and Lambeau Leap? So you dive into the stands. All he did was just move the cameraman around. He actually got his own penalty flag. That's the coolest thing ever. Like, I was laughing. We can't, in our industry, there's times where we just take this stuff so freaking serious rather than enjoy it for what it is. You know, you may be out as a stockbroker. You may be out selling houses. You may be the single dad with your kids or the single mom with your kids, and you just need to be entertained for a few hours. Instead of us breaking down like, well, you know, the right tackle there just didn't do his job for the 16th time in a row. It doesn't mean you don't point it out. It doesn't mean you don't follow it, but we're in a space in our country where sports is the entertainment, the distraction, the candy store where it's supposed to be, and there's a lot of heavy stuff going on. Lots of heavy stuff going on. It's hard for me. It was hard for me this weekend to sit and watch football and just relax and kick back, knowing that there's people that I know that had to evacuate their homes. It's hard for me to sit there and know that there's family members down the line from the Sesmats who had to get out up in Northern California. That's not easy to sit there and just watch a football game. So if it's Bruce Arians breaking down the Cardinals and he's not really bringing the sledgehammer, maybe he's bringing the fly swatter. You know, when kids are being gunned down at a college nightclub in Thousand Oaks, which is like being in Chandler, Arizona, or Gilbert, like the most safest, you would think, community, and that happened last week. I'm not going to sit here and bring the sledgehammer out on guys. There's just not. Like the Cardinals yesterday, that game, as it progressed, it was, okay, Kansas City has got to play the Rams next week. And if they're going to play the Rams next week, they're certainly not going to be into playing the Cardinals in a game in November. That's just how it is. And so they were flat. It happens. I'm not disrespecting the Cardinals. That's just a fact. There's weeks during the course of a season. Is New England terrible today? Anybody? Anybody? New England's terrible, right? Because they lost to Tennessee yesterday. Doesn't mean jack. In the NFL, it's that way too. The Warriors are going to stink it up one night during the course of the season. And Steve Kerr's not going to push the panic button when they lose 110-84 after they played like three games on the road in 5 days. You know, that's just the way it works in sports. And so yesterday, the Chiefs were a little flat. Patrick Mahomes was pretty good. All right. I don't know why the Cardinals can't find Larry Fitzgerald for half of a game. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know why it is that the offensive line seemingly never is good in Arizona for long extended periods of time. And when it is good for just a short enough burst, they go to the Super Bowl. I don't know why that is. I don't know why they've spent draft picks and money on free agents, and they can never just find five guys to put out there and make it through a season, or have them be together for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years and actually be productive together. It shouldn't be this difficult. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and you do it with life insurance. I was at Sagicor Now this morning. Sagicor, I swing by there on my way on up to the studios. I was talking to the good people there this morning, and when I say protect what matters most, we like to visit with people, see what's going on in their lives, and make sure we can help them connect dots. If you didn't come home tonight, Is everything taken care of? Is everything handled? It's a very basic question. It's not scaring you. It's just basic. Last time I checked, none of us get out of here alive, by the way. So log on to Sagicor now, get your free quote, and you can do it in the privacy of your own home. That's at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Bruce Arians in about 4 minutes. In about 10:50. Story of the weekend clearly is Arizona State. Arizona State football, if you've not been paying attention, if you've been busy, it's fine. That's what I'm here for, or we're here for. All they have to do is win at Oregon this Saturday night. More on that in a moment. And then beat the U of A the following week, and then go to the Pac-12 championship game against Washington State in all likelihood, and then win that, and they can go to Pasadena. They just have to win their next three games. Problem is, they have to go on the road, and I'll get to that shortly, but let's go back to Saturday, because it was an awesome, awesome day. I hung out at an event that Sagicor was putting on. Jake Plummer was there with me for a bit. Then I went inside. Senior day and Manny Wilkins getting emotional. It was 76 degrees at kickoff on the scoreboard. Yes, the stadium was about, I don't know, three quarters full. And the Sun Devils decided, you know, we're going to find different ways to get the ball in the hands of Nikhil. Nikhil, unfortunately, was not introduced with the seniors as I wanted to have happen. But this being his last game as a Sun Devil at Arizona State before he goes to the NFL draft, I thought he was pretty special. Manny did his thing. And ASU, they ran over, through, and around UCLA. I mean, they absolutely hammered the Bruins, and they made plays on the defensive side of the football. And it was a complete victory. I know you're going to say, well, what are you talking about? They won just 31-28. Look, guys, UCLA's better. Chip Kelly is going to get this thing turned around over there. But ASU being able to put the plow down like they did here and just run and run and run. You know, ASU, Eric, has allowed 13 sacks on the season.
It's not bad. And you're going to see something here, Brad. I caught a moment here at the end of this reel that I thought was very fitting.
Yeah.
That's coming up here right there. That is Nikhil Harry going over to the student section after the game and saying, it's been fun, but I'm going to be a millionaire in about 5 months, so I won't ghost you, but I'm not coming back.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's the last time he's played
on that field. But that was a nice touch by him. It was a really nice touch.
He has handled Jordan did a great story, I thought, on Nikhil.
Incredible.
And Chase Lucas.
And Chase Lucas had an interception. I put it in the little reel there. So. And good on Chase.
Good on Chase, but Jordan did this piece on Nikhil and Chase.
It was phenomenal, yep.
And a lot of people read it. A lot of people checked it out. And it was terrific. There's more on ASU that I'm going to get to in about 10 minutes because there's some other things I want to get to before I touch on that. The start time of the game at Oregon once again just screams, we don't care what goes on in Tempe at the Pac-12 office. The fact that they're going to put ASU Oregon on Pac-12 Network on a Saturday night and think that it's good for either program late Saturday night. It's going to be 8:30 here in Phoenix when this game kicks off. This game on the East Coast will get started at 10:30. This is a program in Arizona State with Herm Edwards, who has a national reach, with a Biletnikoff semifinalist wide receiver, be a top 10 pick in the draft. And they're sticking it in a time slot on a network that nobody sees. You can try really hard to get your network, the name out there. If it's not being distributed correctly, all you're doing is harming the program. When I see that there's games, and I'll go through some of the games that are going to be on national networks while this game is not, it's embarrassing what's going on here. And Michael Crow is part of the Pac-12 network wielding power. I don't get it. You mean to tell me for the second week in a row, actually third week in a row, isn't it? Utah game was on Pac-12 network. UCLA game was on Pac-12. So for the third week in a row, your program cannot get full distribution on ESPN or ABC or any FS1. You've got to be on the network owned by the conference that is not on DirecTV.
I believe the Utah game was on was not on Pac-12 Network. I believe it was on FS1 or FS1? One of the ESPNs. Because I don't think Pac-12 Network does Thursday night games. But I'll check that, so stand by.
Maybe it was FS1. Maybe it was. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
I'll have your answer momentarily.
Because the USC game was on ABC. Colorado game was on Pac-12 Network. I know that is fact. Stanford game was on ESPN because Brock was out here doing the game.
Nope, you are right. It was on Pac-12 Network. I stand corrected.
Yeah, so...
Three in a row. Yep.
So three games in a row. The Pac-12 Network, which Eric can't get, and he... For Eric, he's got to make the effort to go either get a ticket or, in this case, he's not going to Eugene, go find his way down on a Saturday night at 8:30 and sit at a bar until 12:30, probably, at least midnight, in order to watch his team that is, by the way, in first place in the Pac-12 South. Tell me that this makes sense to anybody that's running that ship over there. It doesn't. It just flat doesn't. Stunning. All right, Jimmy Butler and Carmelo Anthony. And the Suns, I know it's Monday. I could go deeper in the Cardinals, but I've got Bruce Arians coming up here in about 15 minutes. I'm going to circle back on ASU and college football in general just after 10:35. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, welcome back. Bruce Arians comes up at 10:50. More on college football and ASU in about 10 minutes. But I might... My mind over the weekend was a couple of players in the NBA, and this isn't about the Suns. Suns are 2-10. They played Oklahoma City tonight. You realize the Suns have played 12 games, and in six of those games, they haven't even been able to score 100 points. I understand Devin Booker was hurt for three of those. Doesn't matter to me. It's just there's very little firepower, and we're going down the rabbit hole in a hurry to where we've been in the past. Some of you, for some reason, Eric, if you and I have been together doing this, we're in our eighth year now. And is there a player that I have disliked more than Carmelo Anthony when it's being talked about who the Suns should bring in? And whenever that name is brought up, how I immediately go to he just pounds nails in the floor.
Yep, you beat me to it.
Yeah. I mean, is there...
You love to use that term, pound nails.
That was Charles Barkley term he gave me.
Never saw a shot he didn't like, Carmelo Anthony.
I mean, so...
And it seems like Carmelo Anthony's been playing in the NBA since 1975.
So he's logged over 36,000 minutes.
I guess he came in the same year as LeBron, I believe.
Yeah, Darko. Okay.
Yep.
He was with Darko. He was with Marcus Banks.
I remember him.
There's a name.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing on this. So it comes out over the weekend like this big breaking news story about Carmelo Anthony. And I don't know if it's because... He played in New York City, and ESPN is so desperate to get any clicks that they can when it's not NFL time. And so if they put Carmelo's name up there, he can't play dead. When he was at Oklahoma City last year, he couldn't move. And so I've watched Houston some this year. You talk about, like, what are you guys doing? You bring him here, and now he's not playing. And what do you know? He's out of the rotation. And what do you know? He has flu-like symptoms. And what do you know? Now they're talking about releasing him. And some of you Suns fans are just, man, this is coffee. It feels like some of you Suns fans have straight whiskey in here. When you're like, why don't the Suns go get Carmelo? What a brilliant idea. A guy who's not a great teammate. He's not. All he wants to do is shoot and score. That's it. And he's just hanging on, and I don't get the fascination. Like the other night, some people are texting me and shooting pictures. Jerry was at the Suns game the other night with the Celtics. And they're like, oh, wow, Jerry's there. He must be interested in getting the Suns back. No, he's there for USA Basketball to watch Jason Tatum and Kyrie and Jaylen Brown. And support Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge the other night shows up at Grand Canyon University, sits in the front row, Danny Ainge does, on Saturday night to support Dan Marley. It's great. There's not a reason for Jerry to show up, maybe to watch how Devin Booker competes against Kyrie Irving, because Devin's trying to be in the Olympic space. Maybe to see where DeAndre Ayton is, since DeAndre last week said the attitude, he's already tired of it. Guess what, DeAndre? This is the neighborhood you're living in now. It is. You've gone from the U of A and all of the microscopes down there on you in the 6 months that you found your way down to Tucson. to now you're in Phoenix and you're stuck. You're screwed.
Speaking of you're screwed, I just wanted to check a couple stats real quick, just in case you cared, because I really don't. But Marquise Chriss has played in three games with the Rockets, and he's averaging 2 points and 1.3 rebounds a game and 5.7 minutes of action.
Gosh almighty. And when I would hear broadcasters call him, you know, his last name, just enough. Okay, quit slobbering all over these 20 and 19-year-olds to get fans excited for a guy that can't play. But here's the thing on that. When you talk about Houston.
And I thought for sure, Brad, Mike D'Antoni would reinvent that guy and he'd become like the next megastar and everyone in Phoenix would be like, oh, well, look what happened again.
Okay, but he got blown out in August.
Uh-huh.
So give him – I would say on that one, give him time if you want to take that route. I don't think he will ever amount to anything as a consistent NBA player because all he can do is one thing, and that's jump high. Every game he's in foul trouble in 5, 10, 15 minutes.
And there's lots of guys in the NBA that can jump high. So,
but in Houston's case, okay.
They're deep. They have a lot of really good players.
But Eric, I look at Houston and say where the Suns are. When the Suns were great, what made them great? Steve Nash could lob a ball in the air to Sean Marion or Amari Stoudemire or Boris Diaw or Quinton Richardson or Jason Richardson or fill in the blank.
But what did all of those players have that Marquise Chriss doesn't have?
Steve Nash.
And they're way more skilled offensively than Marquise Chriss is.
Marquise Chriss is...
I mean, Amari, everyone like talks about Amari's dunks. Amari was an accomplished jump shooter when he was in his prime.
Yes,
Quinton Richardson will go down as one of the best three-point shooters ever. Jason Richardson was also a really good three-point shooter. These are not like one-trick ponies. So.
But if you go to Houston, look at Houston's roster. And I don't have it in front of me, but I watched them play. Yeah, so outside of Capella and Marquise Chriss, who else on that team is somebody you can just lob the ball up to that they will grab it and throw it down? And you go down that roster and
nobody,
right? And so
they have a lot of guards, a lot of wings.
They have a lot of guards, a lot of wings, but there's no guys that get up other than Capella. You look at the Suns roster, and how many guys do you look at and say, this guy can get up and be throwing it in the air and they can finish? And there's not many. DeAndre is one. Trevor Ariza, are you kidding me? Dragan Bender, 0-for-2.
I mean, Josh Jackson is one, but he's...
Josh Jackson is turning out to be...
He's just so inconsistent and...
he's turning into, again, another miss. Dragan Bender, clearly a miss.
Clearly a miss.
Marquise Chriss, a miss of mega proportion. And so when I hear that you need to bring in some veterans here to get fans excited, Carmelo Anthony is like the total wrong name. The other name is Jimmy Butler. So Jimmy Butler gets traded while I'm at the ASU game. I'm sitting with a good friend. He said, "You hear about the Jimmy Butler trade?" Oh, no, they finally traded him. So he shows me who they traded. Jared Bayless' name is in on that trade. The reason why that trade makes so much sense, if you're Minnesota, is Jared Bayless has a contract that's almost $9 million. That's right. That Jared Bayless from St. Mary's High School, that smart kid that I really liked as a person, is a very smart businessman. Jared Bayless gets paid huge money to go to Philadelphia. Thank you, Brian Colangelo. And now Jared's going to go to Minnesota. He'll be a free agent, and the Timberwolves can go after a big-name free agent next year and help Karl Anthony Towns. You're just connecting dots. Is Jimmy Butler going to get into a Joel Embiid? Absolutely. It's a matter of time before you're going to hear. And again, I have Suns fans saying, why didn't we go get Jimmy Butler? Guys... Like last night, who saved the Lakers' bacon? Tyson Chandler blocked a shot at the rim. It just doesn't stop with this team. And I know you're desperate. I know you are. I know it hurts when you see Jimmy Butler trade and you think that Phoenix could put something together. It's not happening. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Go watch Arizona State and watch Dort play. D-O-R-T. Go watch Dort play. You're going to see a fun team. Go watch GCU play. If you're going to take the time to go watch the Suns, you're constantly going to be disappointed. They have Oklahoma City tonight on the road. I don't think give them any chance. They have San Antonio here on Wednesday night. I don't give them any chance. It's gotten to that point where we have these teams that roll through. Like, I'm more interested in watching the Coyotes now. The Coyotes took apart Washington yesterday. The Suns have absolutely hit rock bottom. Now, a team that has not hit rock bottom is Arizona State. And Arizona. And Washington State is in the middle of the national conversation, too, for the college football playoff. I will explain that. Talk about it all. On the other side, Bruce Arians scheduled to join us at 10:50. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so it's hard to believe. Even Eric this morning was informed that Thanksgiving is next week. You're so, what is your deal? Are you just so locked in on high school and college that you're not, TCU got drilled again over the weekend, am I right?
No, I'm not so locked in on football. I'm just, yeah. I just sort of forget what, you know, my birthday comes and goes, and you owe me a birthday lunch. I'd like to just remind you that my birthday is November 1st, and it's now November 12th, and I'm still waiting for that birthday lunch. But if you'd like to chastise me, if you'd like to chastise me, you can. It's fine.
Next week's bad.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, my birthday stretches.
What's 19 look like?
My birthday stretches throughout the month.
What's 19 look like? 2019. It's 2019.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, Brad. It seems like Thanksgiving is kind of sneaking up on us, and 2018 has really flown by. But
so are you? Has this college football season been boring?
No.
Okay, so there's
not at all.
There's the
never is.
This Jordan just texted me that you're a freeloader. So
Is he texting you during the show?
I don't know.
And why are you checking your phone during the show? Even more importantly,
that's what I do.
Cool. I'm sure our audience loves just looking,
it's,
watching
it's
you
show
look
content.
Down
it's show right? content. Mm-hmm. No, I'm wondering if this college football season has been boring from this standpoint.
It's only boring because Alabama's going to win. That's the most boring part of the season so far.
And I tried to sit through Clemson, BC the other night and just was not interested. I tried to sit through Notre Dame, Florida State the other night and was somewhat interested, but not over the top. I have a hard time with Tirico. It's just not that big a thing for me with him.
Put Tirico back on the NFL and put
eventually he's
Joe
be,
Tass back on college football
eventually,
the world will balance itself back out. So.
Eventually Tirico will go take Al Michaels' place. That's what they do with these guys that do Notre Dame games usually is they have something else in mind. But it's just a personal preference. So I'm watching the games on Saturday and none of them really stood out. After I got home from the ASU game, I'm looking ahead to this week, and you know Notre Dame, Syracuse on the surface.
Bedlam didn't stick out to you, huh?
Bedlam at the end of it was fine, but I'm not big on Oklahoma State. It was, you know, it was okay.
But that's a great rivalry.
It's a great rivalry, but you're a Big 12 guy.
That's a game you should watch every year.
You're a Big 12 guy, not me. The Cal USC game, not the most exciting, but Cal found a way.
USC is really not good.
USC's
no offense
coach
to ASU,
should be fired.
But USC is way down this year.
USC's
way
coach.
Way down.
Okay, so if we go through the Pac-12, Clay Helton's going to get fired.
I think so.
If we go anywhere else in the Pac-12, I think Chris Peterson could leave, if I'm only believing what I'm hearing, could leave on his own accord. I watched a lot of the Utah-Oregon game. Oregon looks pretty ordinary. Like ASU, I think, wins this week at Oregon. I know it's going to be 7:30 at night in Eugene. I know it's going to be cold. I got it. But I don't look at Oregon and say that they're all that. Nationally, I would like to see some things happen to where Washington State actually could be in position to be a team to make it into the Final Four. A lot of people would have to lose.
Yep.
I understand that. I get that. Notre Dame would have to lose. They'd have to lose Syracuse. They'd have to lose USC. Are both those possible? Sure they are. It sounds like Book is going to be back at quarterback for Notre Dame this week. Do I see a path where Clemson is going to lose? I don't see a path where Clemson's going to lose. Could Georgia beat Alabama in the SEC title? Sure, they could, possibly. Could Auburn beat I don't think that's going to happen.
But I can't see Alabama losing to – I mean, after what they did to LSU in Death Valley in a night game, they play up to who they play, and they play up to even the teams that aren't good. They have not had one letdown game all year at all, not even close. And we're in the middle of November. You talk about in the NFL, like the Patriots, they have the lulls.
Yeah.
Bama has not had a lull all season. Not one.
No, no, they haven't. And so I don't think that's coming. When I read and hear how if West Virginia gets on a roll here, and I'm thinking, I saw West Virginia get boat raced by Iowa State with my guy Brock Purdy, who you say I talk too much about. And I do. I know that. But I saw him come out there and just take them apart. So I don't think West Virginia is even close to being worthy. But could they beat Oklahoma? They could.
Sure, no doubt.
They could. So there's not like this Michigan-Ohio State deal. I swear, if Ohio State finds a way to get into the Final Four, it's only on brand recognition. That's it. Our friend Paula Bovin is on the selection committee this year. There's a reason why some of you said, where did Paula go? We didn't fire Paula. Paula fired us. She can't come on this show and talk any college football right now. She is banned from being in a media space to talk about college football. I can have Professor Paula on all day long to talk about ASU, what's going on. From ASU at Cronkite. But Paula Bovin is one of the decision makers nationally this year. She gets sequestered into a hotel with others, and they sit around the table, and they decide that Tuesday night show. Yeah, that same Paula, if you're not aware of, she's a big wheel. And I would like to find a way for Washington State. For Washington State to do it, it would have to be, obviously, them beating the U of A this week, which I think they will. It would have to be them winning the Apple Cup, which it looks like this year they're the better team to do. It would have to be them winning the Pac-12 championship game, which any team that comes out of the Pac-12 North is going to be favored over any team that comes out of the South, including Arizona State. Washington State controls their path. Now, what would have to happen in front of them in order for this to take place? It would probably have to be the Notre Dame scenario of the Fighting Irish losing a couple, falling out, West Virginia beating Oklahoma, the Big 12 championship game. You'd look at the Big 10, the Ohio State, Michigan surrounding. There's like six games left that this Final Four is going to be decided. And for the Pac-12 to have any shot at all, which I don't think they do, but there's an outside possibility, it would have to be Washington State. Washington State's fun to watch. Minshew's a fun quarterback to watch at Washington State. If you've not seen him, he's got this funky mustache. One of the cool moments over this weekend from college football was Gardner Minshew pulling out a fake mustache and sticking it on Mike Leach and laughing about it afterwards when the game was done. It's like Tyreek Hill behind a camera, Gardner Minshew, Jared Goff saying Haley Berry is part of his snap count, and Haley Berry hearing that while she's watching the game, Halle Berry, and having it be something that gets picked up by social media. There were some things this weekend that had nothing at all to do with results, and maybe it is just we're in the second week of November, and this wasn't a great weekend of games. This is one of my least favorite weekends of the year in college football because Alabama plays the Citadel this week. And there's nobody there to challenge Alabama to do this nonsense, but they do. Check it out. The Citadel is on their roster. And so the Citadel is the team they're playing this Saturday. So two weeks before the SEC title game, Nick Saban and even our guy Greg Byrne can just walk in and say, we're going to set up the schedule for a bye week so we can rest everybody so that we're in space where we can go out and just roll. That's the unfortunate part of college football right now. Even to the point of having just the four teams in the playoff, if it were expanded to six or eight, I think it would be far more interesting than what's currently going on. Because if you're recruiting for Alabama, if you're recruiting for Clemson, all you're saying is, please come here, play for us. You'll be our 12th five-star defensive lineman, but it doesn't matter because you're going to get to play in the championship game. Arizona State can't say that. Arizona can't say that. They have to get their programs to a point where they're just in a conversation to be in the top 15. The fact that ASU could go to the Rose Bowl by simply winning their remaining regular season and Pac-12 championship games is stunning. The fact that they could finish 2-1 and end up in El Paso again is stunning. That the conference can't do better than that. It's just mind-boggling that every year it's the same rotation. if you don't go to Pasadena, we're going to pay for you to fly on Southwest for 45 minutes down to El Paso for a job well done. And we're going to stick your game on the Pac-12 network for the third week in a row in the middle of the night back on the East Coast. Amazing. Bruce Arians is on the other side. We continue on. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now let's turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals. It was good to hear Bruce Arians' voice yesterday. It makes us miss the coach here in the Valley, but you can check out all the things going on around Bruce on his website, the Arians Family Foundation. Check out everything that's going on there at Arians Family Foundation. I know you have your golf tournament in March, Bruce. It's Brad Sussmat. It is good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Brad?
Bruce, I'm doing great. Let's just get right to it. Your broadcast with CBS, you saw the Cardinals. What did you make out of them now you've had some time to digest the Sunday game and where they are under Steve Wilks?
I think the positive thing is that I think Josh Rosen is obviously a very tough guy. And he's an accurate guy. I think he's something really special to build around. The stars on defense. Chandler Jones obviously was big in the game. Marcus Golden had great pressure. Corey Peters. D-line, I think, they can keep Robert Kimdichie healthy. He's one of the best in the league.
Really?
I think Corey Peters boasts one of the most underrated three techniques in the league, I think. He's great against the run. He plays really hard for a big man. He can press the pocket and get pressure when he's singled by a guard. But on the downside, that third and long touchdown, I thought was just really bad ball. Every time that Tyreek Hill got matched up in the middle, it was a mismatch for Kansas City. And I didn't get to see an answer for it. He got Buda Baker, who obviously thought he had help over the top. Pat Peterson thought he had help over the top. The first drive, the lack of communication, appeared to me to be really bad. just not having an answer for that matchup. Great drive to start the game. Great drive to start the third quarter. I thought Byron Leftwich did a heck of a job mixing the run and the pass. It was good to see David Johnson getting all his touches again.
Talking with Bruce Arians, Bruce Arians Family Foundation, of course, Bruce, with CBS Sports. He did the Cardinals broadcast along with Greg Gumbel and Trent Green on Sunday in Kansas City. Big picture to you, Bruce, how different do the Cardinals look to you without Bruce Arians' imprint on the team?
I don't know. I guess that's for everybody else to decide, but I really like what they're doing offensively now with Byron running the show. He knows how to use David. He knows how to get Larry involved, but he can't block for him. The offensive line, with all those injuries, it's tough to see Josh get hit that many times. The more you try to help the tackles, the fewer guys go out for passes. And the way Kansas City was playing it, you had to get those tight ends and slot receivers out in passes. So the tackles got to hold up, and the whole line has to hold up better, I think, for them to get to where they want to go. And they looked really good in the second half defensively against Kansas City at just a poor start to the game.
When you look at Josh Rosen, and this goes into meetings before the game, the broadcast meetings, in your preparation and seeing him from the rookie to where he is now halfway through the season, is he on a good track, a good plane in terms of development, Bruce?
No, I don't think there's any doubt. You see him get better. He's a very, very confident young man. And I really enjoyed sitting down with him in the production meeting and seeing that confidence, having the right answers, knowing that he's in a growth period. And, I mean, rookie quarterbacks, it's going to be high and low every week because it's such a learning curve for them. You'll see it with all these guys. They'll have great games. They'll also have a real bad game. That's just the learning curve of a rookie quarterback, and you have to live with it.
Have you seen Baker and Darnold and Allen in as well as Josh in person this season, Bruce?
All but Josh Allen. I have not seen Josh Allen. Saw Baker Mayfield once. He didn't play in the Steeler game. I did, and Sam Darnold. Impressed with all those guys. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the league is right now blessed with a lot of very good young quarterbacks. It was rough there for a while, but I think the one thing you're seeing guys coming out of college right now, they're more prepared to play in the NFL.
How about Byron Leftwich in the role and taking over midseason? You brought him here. Are you surprised that they elevated him? And what did you see out of Byron on Sunday?
Not surprised whatsoever. I thought he was going to be a coordinator pretty soon anyway. And I thought it was a great move by Michael and Steve to get that done. Mike McCoy's a good friend. I don't know why it happened that way, but it's obviously Byron knows how to get David involved.
Yeah. The whole broadcast move for you, how has it worked out? I thought you had some really good moments in a tough game to be an analyst in yesterday. That's not a spot in a game that's that close where three guys in a booth, it all works together. Have you found the broadcast booth to be to your liking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so lucky to have Greg Gumbelin, Trent Green, Ken Mack, Suzanne Smith. We have such a great team, Melanie Collins. I'm the rookie, so they're bringing me along.
Yeah.
And try not to talk when somebody's talking in my ear and asking me questions and answering them back. But it's been fun. It's fun to Fridays and Saturdays go to practice and meet with the players and the coaches and keep your hand in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're done coaching. There's a story that you left open for Cleveland last week. Come on, Bruce, help us out on that one.
I don't think anything's going to happen there, no.
Yeah, yeah. But would you ever go back to coaching, or you think the booth is your spot?
I think the booth is my spot. I mean, like I said, to the only place I would even consider would be Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. So you'd keep that door open. The golf tournament and everything else in the off season. You've not pulled up the plug on everything here in Arizona, right? We're going to see you out here in the off season still.
Yeah, we'll be. Chris and I'll be out in January and February, and living in the valley,
play in the Open.
But no, that. Yeah. I hope so. I've got to work the Super Bowl that week, but hopefully I can get off Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
To do our foundation work and play in the Pro-Am, and but. Yeah, I mean, the need for the children in the Valley is so great, there's no way we're ever going to stop.
Last question. What do you make out of the Cardinals as a team in the NFC West? Now that you've had a chance to see them, how far away are they from being in the level with the Rams and Seahawks from your view?
Well, the biggest thing is just keeping an offensive line healthy for 1 year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's been about 3 years in a row that they've gotten wiped out. And defensively, that's been a top 10 defense for 5 or 6 years, and I'd like to see their level of their play pick up a little bit.
I'll let you go off that, Bruce. I appreciate the time and the insight. Good to hear your voice yesterday, and let us know if we can help on the foundation when you guys come out to get the word out. Thanks.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, guys.
It's always good to hear Bruce Arians' voice. Appreciate Bruce Arians coming on board. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmatt.